Good morning and welcome to Occupied the Airwaves. Well, I think the most entertaining thing for me to talk about, I guess you could call it entertaining, it's absolutely amazing to watch the high speed come apart of the entire blob, the political class, the mainstream media, the high politicians and the talking heads, including in the EU, and what I'm referring, of course, is to the audacity, the treasonous act of going to another country and interviewing its leader. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Should we kill him like Seth Rich, or just put him in prison like Julian Assange, or just strip him of his citizenship and throw him out in a rowboat in the Atlantic Ocean? They just can't decide, but they know something has to be done, because imagine a journalist interviewing a foreign leader. It's shocking, I tell you. They have now thrown all pretense of what they call Western values out the window. They don't even pretend anymore. It's the same as here, where they call truth that they don't want you to hear malinformation. They come right out and say it. They say that they don't want the pearls talking among themselves. They say that you don't have the right to discuss current events with your fellow citizens. They say that you shouldn't be allowed to hear anything but what your owners want you to hear. It's absolutely amazing. They don't want an open society. And this is the thing. You know what Soros, when he goes in and disrupts other countries, what his NGO is called? Open society. Because that's what they pretend. They pretend that Western values include an open society, but not when it comes to the United States of the European Union. No way. So anyhow, I thought I would just read Glenn Greenwald's take on it, because he is so good at pointing out hypocrisy. He's good at making fun of the idiots that pass for the educated class in our society today. This is from Glenn Greenwald, and it starts, "You know things have degraded to a pretty low point when something that happens is so demented and unhinged that you can barely find the words for it." Yeah, I was having trouble myself. That's why I'm reading Glenn Greenwald, because it's so demented, so unhinged, so over the top. It was absolutely amazing to watch their meltdown. And yet at the same time, it's utterly unsurprising. In fact, even predictable. Tucker Carlson over the weekend was spotted by a member of the Russian public, or somebody in Russia, attending the Bolshoi Ballet, which is located in Moscow. The Bolshoi Ballet, you may have thought from hearing the commentary that ensued, is not actually a gulag where some of the worst human rights abuses take place, but instead is one of the highest cultural points of planet Earth, of the human species. The Bolshoi Ballet is the pinnacle of the art form of ballet, and Moscow, for anyone who has visited, is filled with all kinds of amazing and inspiring architecture and high culture, and a very rich history from a country that's been around for many, many centuries with a very storied history. It's a country that Americans have always visited. It's a country where American journalists have always gone to interview Russian leaders, including at the height of the Cold War, when the Soviet Union was the United States' number one enemy. Well, that's when they used to pretend like they cared about the Bill of Rights and freedom and an open society. They've dropped it. Like Frank Zappa said, when the time comes, they will drop the curtain at the back of the theater and you'll see the cold brick wall behind it. And I think that's where we are right now. They've decided to drop all pretense and just go to open fascism. That's what I think. They're sliding into it now. They're just getting people used to it. And it takes a lot of propaganda to make people so brain dead that they think there's something horrible about a journalist interviewing a foreign leader. Yeah, sure. And yet, Tucker Carlson's visit to Russia, his appearance physically in Moscow, as well as the rumor that he's gone there with the intention of interviewing Vladimir Putin, something that every journalist worth that title would be eager to do, shocked and angered the corporate media and public alike. Interviewing any world leader is one of the high points of a journalist's career. It's always a vital public service, especially when Washington is now trying to convince Americans to send another $60 billion to a country that Russia is at war with in order to basically fight a proxy war against that country. This is on top of the over $200 billion the United States has already sent. And Biden has made it very clear that that Ukrainian border is more important than any U.S. border or any other thing that the Congress could be spending money on. American people? Get serious. infrastructure in America? Oh, please. Protecting America's borders? Why? We have to protect Ukraine's borders. Nothing means more to Biden than getting that $60 billion to Ukraine. That was his pet project. He was actually, even though we all blame Victoria Nuland because she was on the ground in Kiev orchestrating the coup in 2014, coming up on the 10th anniversary of the coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine and put in an American puppet in his place, who, by the way, Victoria Nuland handpicked. You can hear the whole thing on the conversation. But if you listen to the entire conversation, at the end she says to Jeffrey Pyatt, that's who she's talking to, the U.S. ambassador, we just run this by Biden and get his attaboy and then we'll be good to go. So clearly she was answering to Biden. And then after the coup, Obama appointed Biden to be the man in charge of restructuring Ukraine in the image the U.S. wanted. And that included, of course, Hunter Biden getting a cushy job for $85,000 a month sitting on the board of Burisma, a natural gas company that was ripping off the Ukrainian people. And when a prosecutor looked into it to see what kind of criminal behavior was going on, them ripping off the Ukrainian people, Biden went over there and threatened to withhold $1 billion from the IMF. Now, why would Biden have control over the IMF, right? If they didn't fire that prosecutor, because he didn't want his son to lose his cushy job. So yeah, Biden is all about Ukraine. He's been getting money off of Ukraine. Well, he did until Trump came in and he lost it for a while. But no matter, they got money from other places like China and that. Don't worry about it. Anyhow, back to Glenn Greenwald. We should, of course, want to hear from Russian leaders, and we should want to hear questions that come from an American perspective, which, if Tucker is going to do that interview, is certainly something you would expect him to ask about. The idea that we wouldn't want to hear that we would somehow be harmed if we hear an interview from a lifelong American journalist who has worked at basically every media outlet in the United States with the leader of the country that's one of the largest and most influential in the world is madness. Madness. And yet, not only are we being told that this event is threatening to the United States and Americans, but it's somehow a sinister act. And when I was trying to look up, I saw an interview with Putin by Megyn Kelly. Well, it was 2017, so that would be 7 years ago now. And this shows you how the United States mass media thinks an interview should be conducted. So she goes over there and she interviews Putin and they title it Confronting Putin, which is right there, shows you where they're coming from. They do this scary music and then they just intercut, you know, her asking these tough questions and Putin's answers. And then they intercut it with talking heads explaining how bad Putin was. And then there was, of course, multiple commercials. This was an American production. So in the hour, you probably only saw maybe 10 minutes of Putin actually speaking. And you had to wonder, is this really what he said? I mean, it was so biased that, you know, who even knows what he really said. But the point is, when I went back and I looked it up to see how to spell Megyn Kelly's name, it's actually still on YouTube. You can look it up. But I thought I'd play a little bit of you so you can tell how American journalism, that's in air quotes, thinks an interview should be held with a foreign leader. And yeah, it's just amazing. Again, you can look at the whole thing, but I wouldn't advise it. It was really bad. But then Russia, the Kremlin, put out the whole thing. Was no commercials, no scary music, no talking heads explaining how bad Megyn Kelly was for asking that question. They just put the whole thing up with no interruptions. And you could watch the whole thing. It was a much better use of my time to watch the whole thing than to sit there and try to sit through that ridiculous. I mean, if people can't see how they're being manipulated when they hear something like this, I don't know what to tell you. So I'm going to play a little snippet of it. So you, just the start.
If the 13 Russian nationals plus 3 Russian companies did in fact interfere in our elections, is that okay with you?
I don't care. I couldn't care less.
American democracy under attack. Tonight, Megyn Kelly's no-holds-barred interview with Vladimir Putin.
Why would you allow an attack like this on the United States?
Why have you decided the Russian authorities gave anybody permission to do this? This is some sort of nonsense.
Come on. Come on.
This is all a smokescreen. None of this could have happened without the direct authority of the man who sits in the Kremlin.
Putin.
So, that's how a real journalist interviews someone. And again, it was such a waste of time. And note that she is accusing him of stealing the election by paying for 13 Russian trolls to put ads on Facebook. That was the accusation, and they did that for years. Years we had to hear that. You notice that the United States right now is blowing up Russians in their homes, in their marketplaces, in their cars, and the stated purpose is that they are going to get Russians so mad at Putin that he will lose this March election. They are announcing that they are trying to interfere with the Russian election. But, I mean, they're literally killing hundreds of Russian citizens, and they're doing it to interfere with the election. That's okay. But 13 Russian trolls buying Facebook ads? That's an attack on our democracy. That's absolutely ridiculous. And remember, that was the 2016 election. You were allowed to complain about that and tell lies about that for years. But the people that complained about the 2020 election, they got thrown in jail. You can still get thrown in jail, by the way. You can get banned from social media. You can get in all kinds of trouble for pointing out that the 2020 election was hinky. Anyhow, let's go back to Glenn Greenwald. Many prominent liberal neocon elites, and that's a repetitive phrase at this point, the overlap between neoconservatives and liberals is almost complete. The neocons are the thought leaders of the Democrat Party when it comes to foreign policy, and what they are pronouncing is that Tucker Carlson is guilty of the crime of treason. Treason! Even though the United States is not actually at war with Russia. There's no congressional authorization to use military force against Russia. There's no declaration of war against Russia, which is the bare minimum needed to be guilty of aiding and abetting an enemy of the United States, which is the constitutional definition of the crime of treason. They're using the term treason and traitor earnestly, literally. Some are even arguing that Tucker Carlson should be banned from re-entering the country, even though he's an American citizen and has an obvious constitutional right to re-enter the country. And there have even been some viral tweets suggesting he ought to be murdered by Ukrainian forces while in Moscow. That shouldn't be surprise anyone who's been paying attention to the mentality of Ukraine supporters and the militias that dominate Ukraine. And actually, as it turns out, this was probably written before he was added to the Ukrainian hit list. The Secret Service, the SBU, has a hit list that which is called, I'll probably going to bungle this, Mirotvorets, which is a list of the people that they think should be assassinated. And when someone does get assassinated, like Daria Dugina, well, then they cross out their name and put, I forget what they put on there, mission accomplished or something. So now they've added Tucker Carlson to that list. There's already been Americans on that list, like Scott Ritter and Rand Paul, but now they've added Tucker Carlson. Because, you know, democracy. This story made it to The Guardian, the British newspaper, earlier today, and they're taking quite seriously this idea that something sinister has occurred. It's kind of ironic. I actually went to Moscow when I worked at The Guardian as a reporter to interview Edward Snowden. They've sent their reporters to interview Vladimir Putin and to interview Edward Snowden and others in Russia. It's what journalists do. I'm glad he repeats that because Americans have become so dumbed down by their owners that they don't even realize that they have rights anymore. They don't realize there's such a thing called the Bill of Rights. And too many of them go right along with whatever their owners say. Oh, you want to go bomb Yemen? Okay. You want to bomb Syria? Okay. You want to bomb Iraq? Okay. You want to bomb Russia? Sure. No problem. You want to bomb, I forget where else. Oh, Somalia? They're bombing all kinds of places and Americans don't care. You know, they just don't care. And they don't think that anyone has the right to complain, and they don't think that Americans have the rights of free speech and freedom of the press, which is absolutely bizarre. Because, like I said, George Soros' Open Society says everybody on planet Earth has those rights. And yet America, where we actually have them written down in our Constitution, we have been taught that we don't have those anymore. Okay, so it's what journalists do. Yet now they seem to be suggesting that anyone who goes to Russia as a journalist, either to visit the Bolshoi Ballet, to see the sights of Moscow, or even to potentially interview the Russian president, is somehow engaged in malevolent acts. So this is a little quote from The Guardian. Kremlin quiet as Tucker Carlson Russia visit creates Putin interview rumors. Far-right broadcasters spotted at Boyshoi Ballet in Moscow, having reportedly arrived last week. Ooh, spotted at the ballet. And he's far-right. Uh-huh. Because he believes in the Constitution. Well, that's one of the requirements nowadays. If you think the Bill of Rights should be upheld, well then, you know, you're far-right. The Kremlin has declined to say whether Vladimir Putin would grant an interview to Tucker Carlson, the far-right American journalist, after the former Fox News presenter was spotted in Moscow. Carlson was the most popular host at the Fox News before he was abruptly fired last April. And this is from The Guardian, February 5th. Let's stop right there for a second and let us recall that to this day, almost a year later, Fox News has provided no explanation, even to its own viewers, as to why Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox. To me, there's never any doubt about why. It's because he's a dissident of Republican establishment orthodoxy. Tucker did not spend most of his time on Fox criticizing the Democrat Party. He spent most of his time criticizing the Republican establishment. People like Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, Paul Ryan, Marco Rubio, and Lindsey Graham. He had contempt for them, as do I. The Murdochs, it's well known, have long supported the pre-Trump establishment party and want to bring the Republican Party back in line with that pre-Trump ideology. What made a lot of establishment Republicans particularly furious about Tucker, and when he was fired, they anonymously celebrated, like the little rats that they are running around in the sewers underneath the Capitol, meeting with reporters maligning Tucker, but only anonymously. They don't have the courage to use their real names. And they were saying essentially that they were happy he was fired because their lives would be so much easier sending American money to Ukraine now that they don't have the most influential voice and most trustworthy voice among American conservatives opposing the war. I firmly believe the reason he was fired is because he was using this gigantic platform, the biggest on Fox, not to disseminate establishment Republican orthodoxy, but to critique it and oppose it. And that's why Phil Donahue got fired from MSNBC. Like Tucker, he had the best show. He had the most highly rated show on that network. But like Tucker, he was criticizing an American war, in his case, the Iraq War. So they fired him. You cannot criticize wars. The military-industrial complex doesn't like that. And whatever else the Murdochs are, capitalists and billionaires, they are also highly politicized actors. Remember, it was Rupert Murdoch who founded the Weekly Standard, the magazine long run by Bill Kristol during the War on Terror to push neocon ideology. And if Tucker hates anything, he hates neocons. And by the way, Bill Kristol was one of the ones that said he shouldn't be allowed back in the United States. The Guardian went on, quote, "Since leaving, he has used X, formerly Twitter, to distribute a right-wing talk show, Tucker on X." How many times are you going to use right-wing in this article? It's now three times and we're not even past the first paragraph. Everything is designed to signify to the readers what to think and what to feel using these labels. Back to Guardian. Carlson has since echoed many of the Kremlin's talking points in its war against Ukraine, slamming Washington for a support of Ukraine, while suggesting the West is to blame for the invasion. And then Glenn says, "This is, I think, one of the most insidious things that has entered our discourse, and actually it's been around for a long time. If you oppose the involvement of the United States in a foreign war, it means you are automatically on their side, that you are a supporter of whoever the United States wants to go to war with, and that you are spouting the talking points of America's enemies simply by virtue of opposing the war. Obviously, it's always in the interest of whatever country the U.S. wants to go to war with for someone in the United States to say, I don't want my country involved in this war. I don't want my country finances this war against this country." Now, that's good, but I just want to remind you that they are pretending, and Glenn is kind of accepting there, that this war started 2 years ago. But let us go way back in the time machine and remember 5 years ago in 2019 when the Democrats impeached Trump. And why did they impeach Trump? For the crime of withholding weapons to Ukraine. That was what they said. They said that he was withholding weapons to Ukraine until the newly elected president, Zelensky, would look into the crimes of Burisma, which is kind of ironic being as how they're projecting. That's exactly what Biden did. Biden threatened to withhold funds unless they fired the prosecutor. But the Democrats accused Trump of withholding weapons to Ukraine unless they would look into the crime that Biden did in Ukraine. Now, why were the Democrats so dead set on sending weapons to Ukraine in 2019? That's 3 years before Russia entered the civil war on the side of the Eastern Ukrainians, the people of the Donbass. They always talk about Ukraine versus Russia, but it's not. It's Ukrainians versus Ukrainians, and Russia is helping the Eastern Ukrainians, not the Kiev regime, the Nazis, who the United States put into power after they overthrew the elected government. The Kiev regime they call Ukraine, but it's not a sovereign country. The United States openly says that they are running this war. They even sent a lieutenant general to go to Kiev to run the war because they said that the Ukrainians weren't running the war the way the Americans wanted them to. So how can you say America is not involved in this war? It's absolutely absurd. I mean, in one side of their mouth, they admit it. Ukrainians aren't doing what we told them to do, so we're sending a general there to run the war. On the other side, they're like, oh no, Ukraine is a sovereign country. And there they were minding their own business when all of a sudden Russia attacked. No, Russia entered the war. And we know this, and we know the Democrats know this, because in 2019, they impeached Trump for the crime, air quote, of not sending Ukraine more weapons. By Ukraine, they mean Kiev regime, not sending the Kiev regime more weapons to kill people in eastern Ukraine. In other words, they were killing their own people, which is enough to get the United States to bomb Libya. Remember? Oh, he's going to go kill the people of Benghazi. Or Syria. Oh, he used sarin gas on his own people. But in Ukraine, they impeached Trump because they said he was holding up weapons that were being used to kill their own people. And then 3 years later, when Russia stepped in to stop the slaughter, the planned in slaughter of 10 million Ukrainians, they say that that was when the war started. But why, if that's when the war started, did the Democrats impeach Trump for holding up weapons? That doesn't make any sense, does it? They're lying. They're lying, and people should remember that. How did they go through the entire impeachment proceedings without admitting why they wanted those weapons to go to the Kiev regime? They never did that, did they? But we knew, or people who pay attention knew. And people, everyone should know now. They should look back at 2019 and go, oh, that's why the Democrats were so dead set on getting weapons to Ukraine. Now I understand. It was so those 250,000 Nazi troops embedded in eastern Ukraine would have enough ammo to kill the civilians of eastern Ukraine, which, by the way, they're still doing. But hopefully, the Russians and the DPR militia, which is now part of the Russian army, will be able to stop. They're about ready to liberate Avdiivka, which is a suburb of Donetsk City, from which they've been killing the civilians in Donetsk City for 10 years. Since 2014. And now finally, they're going to get those Nazi thugs out of there, and then the civilians can live in peace. But you never hear that from the Democrats or the media, do you? No, they never talk about that. They never talk about how the Nazis just blew up a bakery last week and killed 30 people. They were just there getting their bread for the weekend, and they blew it up, and they killed them all. Yeah, that's part of how the United States interferes with elections, like I said. What they want to do is they want to terrorize the civilians, and then they hope they're going to get a regime change in Russia. Then they can move in there, break it up, and loot it again the way they did in the 90s. That's their plan. They say it in their think tanks. If you listen to the talking heads like Megyn Kelly, of course you're not going to hear it. But if you look at RAND Corporation extending Russia, they got it all spelled out. All right, back to Clinton. This framework that they're imposing, namely if you oppose the war in Ukraine and have the United States pay for it, you're somehow echoing Kremlin talking points, is so malignant. That was what was done to people who opposed the war in Vietnam. You were serving the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese communist leader because you were opposed to the U.S. war in Vietnam. If you're against the U.S. invasion of Iraq, you were pushing Saddam Hussein's talking points because Saddam Hussein was saying it was an illegal and unjust invasion, which it was. If you were an American saying that too, you were echoing Saddam Hussein's talking points. Same with the effort to overthrow Bashar Assad. If you wanted your country not to do that, you got accused of being a pro-Assad protagonist. same with the attempt to change the regime in Libya. Well, they did. They bombed the hell out of Libya for 6 months, killed how many thousands, because they wanted to protect the people of Benghazi. How many more people did they kill than their imaginary people that were going to get killed in Benghazi, which there was never any proof Gaddafi was going to do that. But if he did, it was because they were terrorists. That's where the terrorists hung out, in Benghazi. If you're opposed to destroying Libya, somehow you are echoing Muammar Gaddafi's interests. Want the United States to withdraw from Afghanistan? You're pushing the Taliban agenda. Do you see what they've done? They've made it so that any dissent to U.S. foreign policy, especially the U.S. policy of endless wars, which enriches the large corporation that fund both parties, automatically makes you a traitor, which means you are espousing the talking points of this other country. Tucker had said so many times that he knew almost nothing about Russia. He had no interest in Russia. He had never been there until this trip. His opposition to the U.S. funding of the war in Ukraine was based on his view, which is espoused many other times, that the United States should not be funding foreign wars, especially when it has no interest to the American people. That's actually a common view in American political life. If you poll Americans and ask, are we fighting too many wars? Should we be the world's policemen? Overwhelmingly, Americans will say no. And that whole, should we be the world's policemen? That's how they frame it. You go over and you kill millions of people in other countries because you're the world's policemen. You're doing it to save them. You had to kill them in order to save them. Rich was watching a TV show the other day, and I don't know, I just walked through, and this woman's on the beach, very crowded beach, people all over the place, and she sees this man kissing this woman, and she decides that he's trying to kill her, or rape her, or something. I don't know what she thought. And she runs over and starts stabbing him, just all over the place. Everyone on the beach is screaming, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I think she actually killed him. I don't know, I didn't watch any more of that, but I told Rich, you know, that looks crazy when one person does it. If one person looks over at people they don't know and they think in their demented minds, their paranoid minds, that something bad is going on and they need to go kill someone to stop it, well, we think that's crazy if it's one person. But that's U.S. foreign policy. That's how we've lived our entire lives. We've lived our entire lives being told by our overlords, there's a bad person over there. He's going to do bad things. So we have to go over there and kill millions of people in order to stop that bad person. And that is considered perfectly legit. That's considered, yeah, well, yeah, after all, we are the world's policemen. And even policemen aren't allowed to go randomly kill people unless there's an imminent threat, right? They aren't just allowed to go, yeah, I think that person looks like they're going to rob the bank. I think I'm going to shoot him to stop that. No, they're not allowed to do that. So that whole thing is just ridiculous. But that's how we've been taught. We've been taught that we are the world's policemen, and it is our job to go kill people in order to save them. To say that if you oppose American wars, then you're on the other side is a neocon tactic. You're a traitor on stage. You're echoing the talking points of America's enemies. But it's now in places like The Guardian, a liberal outlet, because American liberals, Western liberals on the one hand, and neocons on the other hand, have completely merged. They have the same exact mindset and the same exact agenda. So this attempt to equate dissent to your governor's war policies with treason used to be combined to the provinces of the lowest level, scummiest neocons. And now it is standard establishment liberal discourse, which increasingly is the center of American politics pushing new American wars. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right, and there's a lot more to this. You can see him on, I think, Rumbo, and you can see him say it. I don't have time to read it all, but I just thought that I should make a comment on this blatant, you know, the blatant pulling back of the curtain of democracy and looking at the brick wall at the back of the theater. We're going through that now, people, and what is happening is you're being conditioned to think that's a good thing. So the more people that stand up and go, no, the more people that stand up for traditional American rights, for traditional human rights, and say, we have the right of free speech. We have the right to listen to whoever we want to listen to. Journalists have the right to interview anyone they want to interview. That is our right. as human beings. And no sleazy neocon or liberal should be allowed to take that away from us, in order to save it. Yeah, they're doing the same thing now. We have to kill free speech in order to save it. That makes no sense at all. It doesn't have to. If they say it often enough, people go, oh yeah, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. Makes no sense at all. It's paranoid. If it was just you telling someone to shut up because you wanted to make sure that they would be allowed to speak in the future, you would be considered nuts. But since it's the media telling you and the establishment telling you, then some people fall for it. I'm sorry to say, but some people do fall for it. But no, people that know what the Bill of Rights is all about, go ahead and read it. Read it again. And then stand up for your human rights. Ah, that's the end of Occupy the Airwaves.